This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala Rasulullah. So At-Tawwab appears in 11 verses in the Quran. In 11 verses in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this name, At-Tawwab. And the ta and the waw and the ba, this root, indicates return. Tawb means to return. And so tawbah means to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's to return from a state of sin to a state of righteousness. It is to return from a state of sin to a state of righteousness. يَتُوبُ تَوْبَةً وَمَتَابَةً فَهُوَ تَائِبُ وَالتَوْبُ جَمْعُ تَوْبَةً. So he says that tawb is the repentance, or it is the jam'. Jam' is the plural for tawbah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls himself قابل التوب, the acceptor of repentance. And we talked already about the grammatical forms of some of these names, that when you have a name that has that stress on the second letter, Tawwab, Wahhab, Razzaq, Qahhar, it indicates what? Does anybody remember? Huh? Yeah, repetition. So it indicates repetition. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is always tawwab. He is always the one who is initiating tawbah, and he's always the one who's accepting tawbah. That's what tawwab means. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who initiates the tawbah for the servant. And then when the servant makes tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who accepts your tawbah. So he's the one who inspires you to repent in the first place. That's the first level of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being a tawwab, or that's the first meaning of the name. Allah is the one who inspires us to give up sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who inspires us to return to Him in the first place. And then when you turn to Him and when you repent to Him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who accepts your repentance. So it's a beautiful, beautiful meaning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what this name inspires is a number of things. Number one, it inspires love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Love of Allah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who guides you back to Him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who accepts your repentance no matter how many times you fall. No matter how many times a person commits a sin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept the repentance every single time. And in fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in a hadith that's reported by Muslim, and this hadith, I've never come across a more vivid description of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's happiness than this hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more happy with the repentance of His servant than a person who's traveling in a desert. He has a camel, and on that camel is his sustenance. It's got his food, it's got everything. And then somehow he loses the camel. All he has is desert. Without that camel, he's going to starve, he's gonna die. And so with this hadith, I always imagine like a movie. He loses the camel, he's going through panic. And he's going to go through all of these stages. He's going to go through distress. And then he's going to frantically search. And he's going to go through anger, and he's going to go through these stages of grief. And then finally, halfway through the movie or near the end of the movie, the guy finally comes to the decree. He finally realizes that he is going to die. And so he gives up. And he sits down and he's waiting for death. And in that moment, what does he see? His camel. Somehow it wandered back to him. He snatched life from the jaws of death. And so in that moment of happiness, he jumps up and he screams, Allahumma anta abdi wa ana rabbuk. He says, oh Allah, you are my servant, you are my slave, and I am your Lord. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, akhta'a min shiddati al-farah. He got the sentences all mixed up because of how happy he was. Instead of saying, oh Allah, you are my Lord and I am your slave, he says, oh Allah, you are my slave and I am your Lord. But that is how happy he was. So this would, again, if this was a Hollywood blockbuster movie, this guy's scene would be incredible, of his happiness, of his jubilation, of his joy. And yet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving this incredible scene of happiness as a symbol of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's happiness. When one of us repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we repent, we make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happier than the happiness of that man. And so it is an act that makes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy. Wouldn't any one of us love to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy? This Lord that we love so much. So what's standing in between us and making Allah happy? It is this sin or that sin or this action or that action. And so the repenter, I mean, at the end of Ramadan, it is one of the greatest actions that a person can do, is to sit down between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, oh Allah, I'm giving this one up. I'm giving this thing up. Help me in doing it. One of a beautiful sheikh, he said that he used to, when he was teaching young people to give up one of the most difficult things for young people, which is shahwa, desires, base desires, lusts, he used to teach them to make the dua, Allahumma inni atabarra'u min hawli wa quwwati wa min kulli hawlin wa quwwa fa innahu la hawla wa la quwwata illa bik fakun hawli wa quwwati ya arhamar rahimin. Okay? This dua is a beautiful dua. He says, oh Allah, I declare myself free of my ability to transform and my power. When you say la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, you're saying I have no ability to transform and I have no source of power except with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he would say, we would learn to say, or we would teach to say, Allahumma, oh Allah, I declare myself free of my power and my ability to transform. I'm not relying on my skill, my intelligence, any program. I'm free of all of these things. I've got none of them. And I declare myself free of every source of power or transformation. I'm not relying on any of them. Because I have no source of transformation or power except from you. So you be my source of transformation and power, O most merciful of those who show mercy. I can't transform, I can't become better, I can't give up this, I can't do anything without you. So you be my source of transformation and power. Okay? So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more happy with the repentance of his slave than that. So we said the first thing that it inspires love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you have a Lord who is willing to accept you every single day of your life, no matter what you've committed in your life, as long as you are seeking to journey to him. Number two, that it should inspire a person racing to tawbah. If you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts it from you, no matter how great your sin, no matter how consistent you've been performing it, no matter how long it's been, no matter how many times you've repented before, if you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts from you today and will accept from you no matter what you've done, then that person should not give up tawbah. That person should not give up tawbah. Number three, it should inspire a person to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every stage of their life. You know, when I was... Sometimes we think that the old don't need to repent from anything. It's young people that do all the haram things. But that's not actually true. The haram just shifts, and people's temptations and they just shift. The sins just change. They go from the sins of high school to the sins of university, and they go from the sins of university to the sins of business, and they go from the sins of business to the sins of ego and respect and power, and they shift along a person's life. And so a person is always, always required to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But not only that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. In Surah An-Nur, this is a Madani surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to the best of the best. He's speaking to the Sahaba. And he's saying, all of you repent, all of you. تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. And he ties, he says, repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala collectively, all of you, أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, all of you believers, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, so that you may be successful. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tied and he paired success to tawbah. He paired success to tawbah. Your success is directly related to your repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But not only that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hujurat, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَتُبْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. And whoever does not repent, they are the oppressors. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala divided the world into two camps. Those who repent and those who are wrongdoers. Whoever does not repent, they are a wrongdoer. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who repent. And in fact, even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repented. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ تَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ. Allah has accepted the repentance of the Prophet and the Muhajirin and the Ansar. So the Prophet repents? Yes, the Prophet repents. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that he repents to Allah over 70 times a day. So what sins is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repenting from? What sins is he repenting from? Ibn Taymiyyah was asked about this question. How is the Prophet repentant? What does he repent from? And he mentions that number one, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is forgiven from major sins and he's forgiven, he is protected from major sins and he's protected from minor sins. But that being said, repentance, this status of tawbah, is not just something that is done from sins. It is perfection. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves at-tawabin. And He loves al-mutatahirin. He loves those who repent and He loves those who purify themselves. And He mentions and He says, like it is said, that the good deeds of the righteous are the sins of those who are brought near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a concept that's beautifully articulated, that the good deeds of the righteous are the sins of those who are near to Allah. Does that make sense? The good deeds of the righteous are the sins of those who are brought near to Allah. I give you an example. Last night, Anthony Davis scored 13 points. Aqib, is that a good showing for Anthony Davis? You don't know? You do know, but you don't want to answer. It's not at all, right? But if I were checked into the game, an NBA playoffs game, right out of the masjid, from ROIC, they took me to Toyota Stadium, Toyota Center. The Rockets needed a 12th man or whatever, and I check into the game and I drop 13 points. Would that be a good showing for me? It would be amazing. It would be a lifetime achievement. I'd be on tour. The entire Muslim community would be touring me. How I drop 13 points in an NBA playoff game. It would be exceptional for me because I'm an average Joe. But for someone who's supposed to be an MVP candidate, an all-star and blah, 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 13 points is unacceptable. The good deeds of the righteous are the sins of those who are brought near. So you might have a person who prays Fajr in the masjid. Or you might have a person who just woke up for Fajr. They just happen to finally pray Fajr on time in their house. And because of that, they're like, yo, this is the best, this has been the best Ramadan ever. I've prayed Fajr in my house. I prayed on time. I didn't sleep through Fajr. But you can have another person who's way above that level. And so if they wake up and they happen to pray Fajr at home before the sunrise, that would be not a good deed. That would be a sin that they'd be seeking forgiveness for Allah for. Because their standard is to pray Fajr in the masjid every day. Or their standard is to wake up and pray Qiyamul Layl at 4 a.m. and then go pray Fajr in the masjid. And so the good deeds of some people are the sins of other people. And so you can imagine with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the level that he's at, he's sitting and repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for things that might be good deeds for us. But not only that, a person can even seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness and can repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for their good deeds from before. I look back at what I used to think was righteousness 5, 6, 7 years ago, 8 years ago when I first started or what have you, and I'm seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness for the Ramadans that I used to fast and what I used to do during the day in Ramadan. I seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness for the salah that I used to pray. I used to see, right? When a person is ascending and ascending and ascending, they look back at what they used to do and now they see the shortcomings in it, and so they seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. Anyway, so without going too long, which I already did. Number three. The last thing that I'll mention about this name, At-Tawwab, is the pairings that come. It gets paired with the name Ar-Rahim a number of times in 9 verses. So we mentioned that it appears 11 times in the Quran. So in 9 verses, it's paired with the name Ar-Rahim, the merciful. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَوَّابٌ رَحِيمٌ Allah says in Surah Al-Hujurat, verse 12. And so this pairing, what it inspires as far as meaning goes, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspiring you to tawbah in the first place is a manifestation of His mercy. That Allah, because He wants to have mercy on you, He inspires you to repent, and then He gives you the tawfiq to repent to Him. Allah accepts your repentance. And then number 2, it gets paired one time with Al-Hakim. It gets paired with the wise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pairs it with the name the wise, Al-Hakim, in Surah An-Nur. In Surah An-Nur. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pairs it in verse number 10. And Allah says, وَلَوْ لَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ تَوَّابٌ حَكِيمٌ And if it wasn't for the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you and His mercy, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is tawabun hakeem. Allah is tawabun hakeem. And why this pairing in Surah An-Nur? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, but that first page of Surah An-Nur, Allah mentions a number of punishments immediately for zina. Soon as Surah An-Nur starts, verse number 2, Allah starts mentioning these heavy-handed punishments for zina, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends the page saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is tawabun hakeem. Allah is tawab. Allah is talking about these heavy punishments, but at the same time, He tells you that He's tawab. Whoever repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter what sin that they've done, Allah accepts their repentance. And Allah is wise, that even as He is legislating heavy punishments for the person who commits zina and those who commit slander and all of these types of things, that He is hakeem. This is all coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being wise. These punishments that are deterrents for this sin that is so damaging to society is coming from a Lord who is wise. Don't scoff at it. Don't belittle it. Don't think that this is too unjust or that is unjust in the first place. No, it is coming from a Lord who is wise, but at the same time, He is repentant to anyone who repents, no matter when and no matter what. And then it appears one time, and it appears one time in Surah An-Nasr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, how does Surah An-Nasr end? إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. But what's the verse? We are going to read the whole surah now, aren't we? فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. Allah says, فَسَبِّحْ, so exalt the praise of your Lord and seek His forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is tawwab. This is really interesting. We don't just seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness for our sins, but we seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness for our good deeds. And so as soon as you're done with salah, what do you say? You say, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Even though you just offered a pillar of Islam, you just prayed Fajr in the masjid, and you said, you offered salah, a great act of worship. So why are you seeking Allah's forgiveness? Why do you seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness? Allah says, on the day of Arafah, when everybody's crying on that day, the day of Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ أَفِيضُ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَفَاضَ النَّاسُ وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ. Allah says, then go forth from where the people go forth and seek Allah's forgiveness. And in fact, even Surah An-Nasr. Surah An-Nasr is after the conquest of Mecca, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being told to seek Allah's forgiveness. So why do we seek Allah's forgiveness in these great moments? Because at the end of the day, no matter what it is that you offer, is it what Allah deserves? The answer is no. And so I offer what I offer, and I'm seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness for all of these shortcomings, these human deficiencies. Even the angels on the Day of Judgment will say to Allah, we didn't worship you like you deserve to be worshipped. So what about us then? So we offer our acts of worship, and we seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness as we do it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts, because He is the one who accepts our repentance. There are a lot of beautiful books that you can read on the topic of repentance. Of them is Madarij al-Salikin by Ibn al-Qayyim. Madarij al-Salikin is translated as the station of the wayfarers. And he talks about different stations as a person is journeying to Allah. And if I remember correctly, maybe the second or third station, he talks about the station of Tawbah. And he talks a lot about Tawbah. And then Ibn Qudamah has a wonderful book called Qisas al-Ta'ibin, the stories of people who repented. And he just mentions loads and loads and loads of stories of people who repented. And one of them is reported by At-Tirmidhi, the story of Al-Kifl. And Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he says, I didn't hear this story from the Prophet one time or two times or three times, but I heard this many times from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said that Al-Kifl was a man from Bani Israel who did not leave a single sin except that he committed it. Committed everything. And then one time there was a lady who needed some money and she tried to borrow it from Al-Kifl. And he said to her, I'll give you the money as long as you give me access to yourself. And so she agreed because of her need. And when Al-Kifl made the appointment with her, and when he was in position to take advantage of her, she started to cry. And he said to her, why are you crying? And she said, because I've never done this before. He said, why are you doing it now? She said, because I need the money. And so Al-Kifl, in that moment, he was shaken by her response. And so he got up and he left the money and he went, he said, keep the money. And then he said to himself, I am never going to sin against Allah as long as I'm alive. I'm done. That night, after he made that, he passed away. And the next morning, they found written on his door, Allah has forgiven Al-Kifl. It could just be a moment. And I remember when I was reading Ibn Qudama's book, so many of the stories ended with the person dying. So I asked Sheikh Waleed about this. I was like, Sheikh, like, what's going on? Like, I'm reading Ibn Qudama's book, and it's always like people dying. It almost makes you not want to make tawbah because it's almost like you're going to die. Honestly, it was like, I was like, what's going on? But I was misunderstanding it, because it's not that they made tawbah so they died. It's that they were going to die and Allah wanted to forgive them, so He inspired them to make tawbah. The Prophet ﷺ says that Allah, this is a beautiful hadith. He says that if Allah wants good for a person, عَسَّلَهُ, He says. عَسَّلَهُ, He sweetens him. عَسَد is honey. He sweetens him. And the Sahaba said, well, how does He sweeten him? He said, دَلَّهُ عَلَىٰ عَمَلٍ, He directs him to good work. ثُمَّ قَبَضُهُ عَلَيْهِ, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes his soul while they're doing it. How many a person randomly goes to Umrah, passes away there, goes to Hajj, passes away there, goes to the masjid, passes away there, does some goodness. Allah directs them to that goodness, and of the greatest goodness that Allah may direct a person to, of course, is tawbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves at-tawabin, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who repent to Him. So this is the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at-tawab. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of at-ta'ibin. We have 5 minutes. There was another name that I wanted to go over, but I'll save that for after Fajr, inshallah ta'ala. But I think it appropriate, the last day of Ramadan, inshallah ta'ala, that we make dua. So I'm going to make dua. So say ameen. I don't think we've had a dua in English yet. We did have it?
Yeah.
Well, get ready. We're going to do it again. O Allah, guide us amongst those You've guided, and give us health amongst those You've given health to, and protect us amongst those You protected, and bless us in what has been given to us by You, and protect us from any evil You've decreed. You decree in truth, and none decree over You. O Allah, You are the truth, and Your speech is true, and Your promise is true, and Your meeting is true. And paradise is true, and the fire is true, and the prophets are true, and Muhammad is true. O Allah, we believe in You, and repent to You, and seek judgment from You. So grant us forgiveness from You for our past sins and the new, those hidden and evident. From all of them we repent, and from those we've forgotten while You knew. O Allah, the Lord of Jibreel and Mikael and Israfil, guide us to what people have differed in. By Your permission, You guide whomever You wish to the straight path. O Allah, the Lord of Jibreel and Mikael and Israfil, You judge amongst the people over that which they differ in. Guide us to the truth. You guide whomever You wish to the straight path. O Allah, we ask You for paradise. O Allah, bring us close to it in actions and speech, and protect us from the hellfire. And O Allah, bring us close to it of actions and speech. O Allah, we ask You for good now and good later, and what we know to be good and what we don't, and to protect us from all evil, evil now and evil later, and what we know to be evil and what we don't. Oh Allah, we ask you for the best of what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked you for. And we seek refuge in you from the worst of what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sought refuge in you from. Oh Allah, accept from us our fasting and our charity and our qiyam and our recitation of the Quran. Oh Allah, accept from us our actions in Ramadan and allow us to experience many more Ramadans in good health and good faith with our loved ones. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Jabbar, fix our brokenness, fix our broken health, fix our broken faith, fix our broken relationships, fix our broken homes. Oh Allah, make our tomorrow always better than our today and make the best of our days the day that we meet you. Oh Allah, we complain to you the wounds of the Ummah of Muhammad. We complain to you how many our wounds are. Oh Allah, we complain to you the numerous of our wounds. Oh Allah, we complain to you our wounds in Iraq. We complain to you our wounds in Afghanistan. We complain to you our wounds in Kashmir. We complain to you our wounds in Syria and Turkey. Oh Allah, we complain to you our wounds in Palestine. Oh Allah, free Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. Oh Allah, free Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. Oh Allah, free Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. Oh Allah, protect our family in Sudan. Oh Allah, protect Sudan from conflict and from war. Oh Allah, feed our brothers and sisters in Yemen. Oh Allah, protect the Muslims over every earth and under every sky. Oh Allah, we complain to you our weakness and our insignificance amongst our enemies. But as long as you have no anger towards us, then we do not mind. But we prefer your protection and we prefer strength. Oh Allah, we ask you to accept our fast and our charity. Oh Allah, we ask you to forgive us. Oh Allah, you are forgiving, you love to forgive, so forgive us. Oh Allah, you are forgiving, you love to forgive, so forgive us. Oh Allah, how many of a sin we've committed. Most of our sins we've forgotten, but they're recorded with you. Oh Allah, we ask you to, as you did not expose us in the dunya, that you not expose us as long as we're alive, and that you do not expose us on the Day of Judgment, and that you forgive our sins. You are the concealer. You love to conceal our faults. Oh Allah, there is nothing that allows for us to beg you except what you've taught us of your forgiveness. Oh Allah, there's nothing that allows us to stand in front of you and ask you except what you've taught us of your mercy. Oh Allah, we ask you to have mercy on our parents as they raised us while we were young. Oh Allah, those of them who are alive, grant them beautiful health and beautiful faith. Grant us the goodness of being there in their company as long as we're alive. Those of them who are non-Muslim, we ask you to give us the sweetness of seeing them accept Islam. Oh Allah, those of them who have passed away, we ask you to expand their graves as far as their eyes can see, that you make their graves gardens from the gardens of paradise, and that you reunite us with them in Jannat al-Na'im, with the prophets and the martyrs and the righteous and the truthful. What excellent companions are those. Oh Allah, we ask you in this gathering that you do not leave for us a sin except that you've forgiven it, and no debt except that you've repaid it, and no stress except that you relieve it, and no need from the needs of the dunya or the akhirah that is beneficial to us and is beloved to you except that you facilitate it for us. Oh, most merciful of those who show mercy. Oh Allah, we ask you to fix our families, to fix our homes, to make them anchored by the Quran and Sunnah, that you make us all guided and guiding of others. We ask you for your love and the actions of those you love and the love of those you love. Oh Allah, we ask you to make the Quran the spring of our hearts and the light of our chests and the remover of our sadness and the repeller of our stress. Oh Allah, teach us what we don't know and guide us what we've forgotten and grant us the ability to recite throughout the day and the night. Oh Allah, we ask you to grant all of our students success in their studies and in their exams and make it easy for them and grant them success in the dunya and the akhirah. Oh Allah, those who are single, give them the ability to find righteous spouses who will be the coolness of their eyes and the laughter of their hearts, and who will anchor families for them that are rooted in the Quran and Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh Allah, we ask you for every goodness, to be protected from every evil. Oh Allah, we ask you that you do not place on us a burden that we can't bear, and that you strengthen our backs, and that you make us of those who call to you and not call to ourselves. Oh Allah, we ask you for the best of this day, and we seek refuge in you from the worst of this day. Oh Allah, we beg you, we implore you that this month does not disappear except that we be forgiven. Oh Allah, we beg and we implore you that this month does not leave us except that we've been forgiven and that we've been removed from the burden of our sins and that we be written amongst the people of paradise. Oh Allah, we ask you that we be of the people of paradise, us and our loved ones. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, we seek refuge in you from the fire. Oh Allah, we seek refuge in you from the punishment of the grave and from the punishment of the Day of Judgment and from the punishment of the fire. Oh Allah, you have taught us that you are the most merciful, and you have said, call upon me and I will respond. And here we are calling upon you. We are raising our hands to you. We are imploring you, Ya Arhamar Rahimin. We ask you, Allah, for Jannah to protect us from the hellfire. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam.